Amen. And the last two prophecies will be a part of the teaching too. I'm going to go off his prophecy, because in the teaching we're going to be talking about communicating and hearing from Yahweh. It used to be that you had to go to Moses, and Moses, tell us what he's saying. And Moses is the only one with Wi-Fi connection. And he's the only one that had like a satellite phone. And Moses would say, he says this. Okay, great. But when Christ died as our sacrifice, all of us now have our own, like a unit. The Holy Spirit is now inside of us. But if you don't have peace, you can't hear it. You do not have a good connection.
Yeah.
And sometimes you think you have peace because you haven't gone through anything hard. There's times when I was rebelling in my life. Oh, I have so much fun, your dad, and I have so much fun. And I had plenty of peace until something went wrong. And all of a sudden, dum, dum, dum. Oh no, the credit card bill came in or whatever. And I got no peace. But the peace is going to be how you communicate to our Father. You have to have peace to be able to hear from Him. And the power. What I want to do is do a teaching on how to respond in crisis situations and how we should actually be prepared to be ready. So you teach the Heimlich maneuver. The Heimlich maneuver is I looked it up, and Heimlich is the doctor, but what they call it, a thrust maneuver is his other name. It's a thrust. You hope you never need it, but if something happens, you're ready to go. You teach CPR, hoping you don't need it. But if you do, you're very thankful you have it. And when you start teaching somebody CPR, is there a chance that the person you're teaching is going to start freaking out a little bit? What do you mean their face turns blue? Mm-hmm. What do you mean that could be my mom's face turning blue? Don't freak out. But you teach. Be ready. Be ready to go. Changing a tire. Changing a dirty diaper, or a woman goes into labor. Maybe you guys think about this thing. It's a crisis situation. And what I wanted to do is, what I'm getting ready to share on, I have not necessarily done. Imagine a hospital. I was thinking about a hospital with like Ben Carson, who is a Christian neurosurgeon who separated Siamese twins' heads. And he did it how he was connected to Jesus Christ, and he had the mind of Christ, and Christ showed him how to separate the heads, and he's one of the most famous neurosurgeons in the world because of what he did. And you can imagine the parents going, "Ben Carson saved our kids." Yeah. Now, what I want to do is kind of zoom back from a perspective, something that I've been kind of looking at. Ben Carson was just one part of the surgery, if you want to kind of look at it, because were there nurses in there? Yeah. Were people handing him scalpels? Were people dabbing sweat off his face? Were people getting him Gatorade or something to drink? Did somebody prep the room? Did somebody sterilize the room? Were the halls clean? Did Ben Carson have a bathroom to go to? Was there a cafeteria for all the staff to eat? Were there maintenance people making sure electricity was running? Was there somebody making sure there's a backup generator running? Was there an accountant making sure they got the bills paid? Was there a business manager making sure they got good deals on all the equipment? And you think about how many hands came together when those children were separated. Now the most important is going to be the person up front. And you can think of Ben Carson like the Apostle Paul. But in the body of Christ, there's many, many members. And when a crisis situation happens, what can happen when I was your guys' age is I would freak out, and then I'd look at mom and dad and be like, "Do something!" You look at a leader or a pastor and you go, "Tell us what to do. Do something." And what I want to do is prepare all of us that we should be prepared to say, "Everybody go to your prayer closet. Get on your knees and you find out what to do." And he might tell you to go get the breaker switch. He might tell you, "You're going to do the surgery." Me, surgery. My dad should do the surgery. No, you're going to do the surgery. He's going to go get food. And you guys, and then when you go in a crisis situation, everybody go, get peaceful, and all of us have a responsibility to say, what did the head communicate to you? Not what did he say. Now, Norman, what I would do is, what do you think I should do? And when I've gone through a crisis situation, there'll be a lot of peer pressure from the people around you telling me what to do, what I should do or not do, and you don't know what to do if you've never been through it. But this is preparatory. that we should be able to say, get everybody ready. And I, and at the end of the teaching, what I was thinking, imagine a father and a mother in a household of 9 people. A crisis situation happens. Whatever, a hurricane, tornado. Under most circumstances, and before this teaching, probably what I would have done as a kid, if you look at your mom and dad, help! Help! Mom, dad, help! And they do, and then the mom and dad, what happens to them? All these burdens are going to come on top of them. And is it easy? Do you have a head of a household right over here? Is it easy when everybody dumps their loads on top of you? Does that help him here? When the whole household goes, do something! And he's sitting there going, now imagine another, the same household, the same family going through a preparatory going, when this happens, everybody go to your, you know how to get peaceful. You go on walks, you do your, you soak, you go hunting, and you go, and then everybody comes back and regroups. Did everybody get their job?
Yeah.
Elijah, what did you say? And it could be if somebody's not in fellowship, they could say something stupid, and we go, vetoed. No. If somebody's drunk, or somebody's never been to fellowship, they don't study the Word, they haven't been around the Word, there's no intimacy with Yahweh, and they come up, you just say, you go over there, all the mature believers, the faithful. So the neat thing about what Vera has a gift in is she tries to teach people about intimacy with Yahweh. If you have intimacy with Him, you can hear Him. And if you can hear Him, you're going to have peace. And if you can hear Him, it's easier to be faithful to Him, right? The difficult thing about intimacy with Yahweh is, what does that require? Holiness. You have to be holy. If you have sinful lifestyles in your life, it contaminates you and you don't have a good connection. So there's a lot of people that have no connection on their phone because of their lifestyle. And the only time they get information is if they can hook up to your hotspot.
Yeah.
And what happens to his internet when he has to do a hotspot for 9 people? Can it work? Yes, it can work. And we're not, I'm not trying to knock any of those things, but this could be to prepare all of us to say, Ruth. And actually, if anybody's going to think about that, we need to do an emergency appendectomy on my dad right now. Everybody go. And then Ruth comes back. She's 8. I'm supposed to do the surgery. An 8-year-old? No. And then Vera goes, I got the same thing. Mom says, I got the same thing. We go, we might take a step back. If Father, is this you? Then all of us go back to the Father. He confirm it. And if He says the 8-year-old is going to do it, okay. Or not, but it gets confirmation. So there's the hospital. Now here's an example of Exodus chapter 14. If you turn to Exodus chapter 14, I want to go straight to 15. It's page 98, so I'm going to try to keep this quick. So I'll give you the page numbers. Now, the difference between our situation and Moses is that Moses, as far as we know, Miriam and Aharon, Moses' brother, did not have Holy Spirit yet. They could have. We don't know. Joshua did not have Holy Spirit yet. Maybe. We don't know. I mean, this is really early on. They could have. There could have been other prophets. We don't know. But according to the scriptures, it appears there's only one person connected to the head. Who is the head at this point? Yahweh is the head. And Moses represents the head. And Moses is the mediator between God and man. And Moses was a type of Jesus Christ. And so what's going to happen here, and in verse 15, after all the wars of Egypt, they beat the snot out of Pharaoh left and right, beat all of his gods. We're going through the war of Egypt right now. Now we've got pedophiles, all kinds. It's just taking a lot longer than we thought. But in verse 15, Yahweh pins Israel up against, puts him in a corner in a dark alley with no exit, and here comes Pharaoh. Everybody's stuck in an alley. There's no place to go. And what are they going to do? They're going to vent. They're be ready for that, because when you go through a bad situation, you have a bad day, you're going to vent. If you're not ready, you're going to take it out on somebody. You're going to lash out at somebody, or whatever, you're going to vent. And in this case, all of Israel is going to vent on Moses. Moses! Well, there are no praise in Egypt, and Moses is going, I got 6 million people pulling on my Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And somebody read verse 15.
And Yahweh said unto Moses, what outcry wouldst thou make unto me? Speak unto the sons of Israel that they go forward. That's it. Keep reading.
and thou lift high thy staff and stretch forth thy hand over the sea and cleave it asunder, and the sons of Israel may enter into the midst of the sea on dry ground. What did he do? He went to the head, and Yahweh corrects Moses. Now is not a time, and it's easy for us to look at Moses missing the mark. Are you kidding me? People make fun of Peter walking on water because he doubted. Okay, practice what you preach, smart Alex. Speak in tongues and interpret. Oh, but you'll make fun of Peter, right? But here's Moses, and Yahweh goes to Moses. Now is not a time to talk. Do something. Have you ever had that where the whole family, everything's going, falling apart, you're changing a tire and nobody's doing anything? And you look at other, would you do something productive? And I think that can happen in our lives when people aren't used to going directly to the head. Everybody in this room should be ready to say, you, everybody go, check in with the head, get your job descriptions, and at the end of this, did you do your job? And if we don't walk on water today, let's just say whatever the miracle is, and we get done at the end of this, it didn't happen, okay, what was your job? Well, don't tell me what we should be able to say, what was your job? Yahweh told me to make sandwiches for everybody. Yahweh told me to go on a long walk. Yahweh told me to do this. And you come back, then you go, did you do it? I did. And then we would come back and we would comfort you to say, if you did your job, you should be very proud of yourself. You did your job. Great job. And some people might say, I know I did my job. Okay, are you going to be that confident with a lie detector on you? Because when you meet Jesus Christ, it's going to be more than a lie detector. And if you didn't do your job, we don't want to beat a dead dog. Repent, apologize, and be ready the next time. And we're going to look at somebody who missed it one time, but he was ready the next time. Before we go there, Numbers chapter 11, Moses is being crushed by 3 to 6 million people. We don't have to go there. It's Numbers chapter 11, verse 21. I'll kind of summarize what's happening here. And Moses goes, these people are going to kill me. Am I going to give these people flesh? What's going to happen? And Yahweh goes, get everybody together. And in this meeting, Yahweh brings down a tent and he splices the Holy Spirit, the Ruach Kodesh, and puts the Holy Spirit on 70 people. Why? So 70 people could tell people what to do. What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? To hear from our Father, the way Adam and Eve heard before the sin. A connection. What's going on? What do you want me to do? I love you. Do you love me? What's the purpose of my life? And this communication that we have, and now there's 70 people and in this account. And after the 70 account, two people, Joshua brings them to Moses, probably getting ready to stone him. Moses goes, what's up? We found these people prophesying. Okay, and one of the things, Eldad, that's David Remy's new son, Eldad.
Yeah.
And Moses goes, are you jealous for me? I wish everybody had the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Why? He had 3 million people burning, weighing him down, and he wanted everybody to be able to communicate with Yahweh. Not just for fellowship, but so it didn't crush Moses. He's doing everybody's job. Mm-hmm. I look at my mother and my father here, and I'm looking at this parent right here, and I wonder how many times you did everybody else's job. Because they weren't pulling their weight. And you got to correct everybody. Now you got to be the bad cop again. Are you kidding me? It's supposed to be my vacation, and now I got to ground you. Oh, and so I believe right here, Moses is irritated. I'm tired of doing everybody's job. And the good news is, when you're doing everybody's job, Yahweh notices, his accountant's very good, you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
It's called working overtime. He'll bonus you. He'll give you good ones. But give them the Holy Spirit so they know what their job is. Isaiah 6:8, we won't go there, because I'm trying to keep things short. In Isaiah 6:8, Isaiah sees up into the heavens, and he doesn't see Yahweh sitting back in a throne doing nothing. And the movie, the book called You Were Born for This, I really encourage you guys, you get the audio one, you can listen to it or read it. It will activate you. And I don't like books very much. it will activate you. It's like showing somebody, you have Google Maps on here, you have Google Translate, you have all these things. Vero and I, she speaks English, I don't speak Espanol very well, but we have an app, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. Who paid for the app? I didn't pay for it. But we have to walk out in faith and try and use it. And she's led me that over and over again, trying to find the words, and she works it. She works. She's a very good steward of this free app. The Holy Spirit inside of us was paid for by Jesus Christ. What are you doing with it? And you were born for this. The book said the guy used to think that Yahweh was doing nothing. And then when he read that, it says Yahweh's looking up and he's seeing a crazy... think about like the New York Stock Exchange. Everybody's running around, busy, gone. And here's all these things that are going on. I'm busy. And Yahweh goes, I need volunteers. Who do we got? You think about Donald Trump going, I need a volunteer. We need an accountant. We need a marketer. And in that book, he said, Yahweh is waiting on you. He's waiting on me. So if you're ready before a crisis situation, you have the Ruach Kodesh, just like Isaiah did. Get down on your knees and say, what do you need, boss? And oh my goodness, can you imagine Moses? Somebody coming to Moses and saying, Moses, what can I do for you? Put the Holy Spirit on me. Are you able to do this? Yes, I'm able to do this. Great. Take care of my wife and my kids. Let's see here. You turn to Mark chapter 4, 35. And you can look back to encourage people with this concept of preparing for a crisis situation. To look back afterwards, we have the helmet. What is the helmet? Anybody? Ephesians 6. The sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the helmet of
salvation.
What does that mean? If you put on the helmet of salvation in the morning, what does that mean? It means I'm saved. Worst case scenario, I'm in. Does that empower you? Does that empower a father who knows that all his children are saved? They're all saved. But you have to put it on and remind yourself, I am saved. And I will see and look upon his holy temple. And I will be rewarded for every act of obedience. And every time that I was blasphemed for your name's sake, I'll be rewarded. And you start by putting on the helmet of salvation. I am saved, worst case scenario. I'm going down by lions. Are you kidding me? Think about a whole other mentality like King David. I'm going to die. How am I going to die? Fighting a giant? I'm going to die doing what? Going after Al-Qaeda? I'm going to go kill the pedophiles? If I'm going out, and I don't want to die prematurely, but if Yahweh gives me my mission, then that's a good way to go out. Salvation is going to empower you. Matthew chapter 4, verse... If somebody read 35 through 40...
Oh, you said Mark.
It is Mark, sorry.
And he said unto them on that day when evening came, let us cross over to the other side. And dismissing the multitude, they take him with them as he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. And there arises a great tempest of wind, and the waves were dashed over into the boat, so that already being filled was the boat. And he was in the stern on the cushion, sleeping. And they aroused him and said unto him, Teacher, carest thou not that we perish? And roused up, he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Hush, be still. And the wind lulled, and it became a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful?
And pause right there. Turn to Mark chapter 3, verse 14. The dad pointed this out. Why did Jesus Christ rebuke them? He reproved them. Unlike Moses' situation, it's kind of like Moses' situation a little bit. Yehoshua was taking a nap, he's sleeping. He goes, why? Somebody read verse 14 and 15 of Mark. One chapter earlier.
Chapter 3.
3, 14, yeah.
And he appointed 12, whom also he had named apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might be sending them forth to make proclamations. And to have authority to cast out the demons.
He had given Yahushua, Jesus Christ had already given them the authority in the chapter earlier. To do what?
Cast out demons.
Cast out demons. He had given them his authority. Well, you didn't get real specific on what exactly. Are you kidding me? All authority on heaven has been given to me by my Father. I can do nothing without my Father. Do I have to get specific? Really? That specific? Oh, sorry, boss. He's rebuking them, going, you guys should have fixed this. I was taking a nap. Do you think if there's anybody who deserved a nap, do you think it was him?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I've been doing all the work. How much did Christ complain? I don't see him complaining. But right here, he rebukes them because they weren't doing their job. You and I have been given more authority than these guys. Because in John 14:12, he said, greater works shall you do because I ascend to my Father. So we should look at that and go, why is he rebuking them? They're not doing their job. They're not exercising their authority. And then I should take that look at my life to go, how far along am I in comparison with these guys? I got a long ways to go. Not to knock myself down, but to say, okay, let's start using these things, getting ready. And a neat thing, and I'll turn to I think it's Matthew 15. Let me find this next one. Matthew 14. And so, if you have missed your opportunity in something, which I have when 9/11 happened and the terrorist attack, I've said this over and over again the night before, Yahweh asked me to stay up and pray. I said, why? He didn't tell me why. Can you imagine that? Of all the nerve. You need to explain yourself to me if you want me to stay up and pray. That's how I was just giving a good reason why. I got no answer. I'm going to do my own thing. Next morning I wake up, terrorist attacked. I don't know anybody else, but I do know me. And I know I missed it. Because I could have been praying. And if I was praying and I did what he told me to do and it still happened, I would know that I had done my job. I did not do my job. And so we got to be ready. And then when you don't do your job, okay, apologize. Confess, I missed it. It wasn't you. It was me. It was user error. I'm ready for the next one. Give me another shot. You ever missed a buck? Give me one more shot. Give me one more chance. You ever miss a big sale? Never miss a big sale. You ever missed a good teaching with your kids? Whatever, fill in the blank. What did you miss it? And you know you missed it. You could have had it. That's where we get down on our knees and say, give us another shot. One more shot. And we're going to look at it. And I believe my Father had this. And if somebody reads Matthew chapter 14, 26 to 29.
And disciples seeing him upon the lake walking were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And by reason of their fear, they cried out, and straightway Yahushua spake unto them, saying, take courage, it is I, be not afraid.
Now my Father taught this a long time ago. And his reasoning, so my dad will get reasoning, he gets clarity, and he said, you don't just say you're going to walk on water, especially if you've never seen anybody walk on water.
Yeah.
Hey, I think I'm going to fly around the moon today, or something. You don't think that. What my dad taught was he believed that Peter had missed it once. And he was ready to go, the next time I get a chance to exercise my authority, I'm going to do it. I missed it once. I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. And in this case, I believe my dad was right, especially if you look at what we just read. They get rebuked for not exercising their authority. I believe Peter was giving himself a pep talk to go, the next chance I get to exercise my authority, I'm going to do it. And if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, and if I fail, I'm going to fail trying. If there was anybody that had a heart for Jesus Christ, it was him. He said, I will die for you. And then he cut off Malchus's ear. And then Jesus Christ said, put your sword back up. Because Peter is a real thing, but he was ready. And when we're looking at this, and that, go ahead and read. Finish reading, please.
Let's see.
28 and 29.
He's in the middle of 28.
And making answer, Peter said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee upon the waters. And he said, come. And sending from the boat, Peter walked upon the waters and came unto Yahushua.
You can pause right there. What was that? I believe that Peter was ready. The next chance I get to walk on water, well, it would have been walk on water. The next chance, and in this case, you can imagine Peter going, where did I fail? I failed in a boat. Where is he now? I'm in a boat again. I'm not going to ever fail that. And you can imagine he's a fisherman too. He knows how to swim. You'd be a little embarrassed if you get rebuked by Jesus. The carpenter rebuked me. The carpenter should be the one that's afraid of drowning, not the fisherman, right? You think, I'm just thinking like a man. But in this case, the next chance I get next time I get an opportunity to exercise the authority that he has given me, what authority is that? All authority has been given to me by my Father in heaven. I'm going to do it. And what did Peter do? He looked at James and John and goes, will you guys pray about something? I'm going to try something different. Did he look at Peter? Did he look at James and John? Did he look at everybody else and say, what are you guys going to do?
He looked at Yahushua.
He went straight to the head. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, Jesus Christ is the head. And there's many members in the body. There's fingers, there's toes, there's feet. There's all kinds of different things. It's all connected. And if the brain is not connected to the hands, what good are the hands? They're useless. You ever seen a quadriplegic like this? What? These hands, we watched a movie where the guy's a quadriplegic. Do you think he liked his hands? He hated his hands. They're useless. He hated his legs because they had to massage them and stuff, and they're a problem. In the body of Christ, there's things that Jesus Christ, I'm not going to say he hates, but they're so useless because they're not connected to the brain. And so if somebody looks at me and they wave at me. His brain is telling my hand what to do. I'm receiving information. My brain goes, he wants you to wave. And I go back to my brain. My brain goes, wave back. In this life and in a crisis situation, other Christians are going to tell you what to do. But you go back to the brain to go, what should I do? Because if he's an evil person and he's waving, what's your brain going to say? You don't wave back to that guy. And that's what we do. We go directly to the head. Give me the authority. I'm on it, boss.
Yeah.
And we could be just like Peter, learn from it, and actually prepare everybody for the next crisis situation. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is inside us, the Ruach HaKodesh. Know, my children, that I am so excited to exercise my power through you for so many reasons. But one of the reasons that I get excited is so that I can show you how faithful I am. In this world, we have so many people using you and abandoning you. Isn't it nice to know you have people that are faithful? And when you walk out in faith and I hold your feet under the water, you will get to see who I am and how faithful I am to you. I want to show my appreciation to you by fulfilling my promises to you.